of her in this meeting. Anoint Armani as he's going to share, and bless Matt. Good to see his face as we meet today. Bless myself, Josh, Dallas, and Armand, and touch us, Matt, as well today. Touch us this morning, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Touch us, Holy Spirit, and move us to victory this morning in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. All right, good morning, guys. And just to let you know, Matt, I'm having some power issues with my Mac, so if you clip out, that's probably the reason why. So for today, guys, the main thing that the Lord laid on my heart for this particular morning, I wrote this up last night, was the issue of just a couple topics on prayer, particularly not limiting the Lord in our prayers when we lift things up and we pray for certain things. So just going to start off the year with that. We're going to focus on Ephesians 3:20. But the main topics is going to be, again, how the Lord transcends our limitations, but obviously put more of a biblical, a stipulation on that, for lack of a better word. And also persistence in prayer and also intercession in our prayers. Just a couple things interlaced with that. So going to Ephesians 3:20. Yeah, I don't expect really to be actually too long today. Now to him, and this is Paul writing here, to him, God our Father, who is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And then he goes into chapter 4. So a bit of a background context here. And Paul here in chapter 3 was praying for the church in Ephesus. And you have this mixture of Jewish and Gentile believers. And his desire, as you know with Paul, a lot of times he's talking about how he's, you know, praying for the people in the respective churches. You know, whenever he has the letters, you kind of see that a lot of times intermingled in there. And also you have it too to where, also in the other letters, where he's praying for them to have spiritual gifts and progress in the spirit. His desire here was for them to understand and experience the depths of Christ's love for them. And you see this in 17:19. In the mix of his praising the Lord here, Paul, he gets into this aspect of the Lord's ability to go beyond what we can even ask for in prayer. Now, the first thing that comes out when the verse came to my mind last night, the first thing that comes to my mind is how us Christians, we tend to misinterpret or put a spin on this verse that we probably shouldn't. You know, this whole aspect of he can do more than what I could think of. Ergo, if I ask the Lord for a beat up car, he's going to give me a new car that's 2024 or 2020. You know, if I ask the Lord for a house, he's going to give me a mansion, you know, and the money, he's going to give me a giant raise. You know, the Lord can do anything he desires. But this whole aspect of, you know, focusing that prayer on that, even that is a limitation. You know, you limit it to our desires and our greed or whatever. This even goes back to what I talked about multiple times in the past men's meetings. You know, James 4, how we sometimes ask amiss. You know, we ask things, but it's actually for our own, what we want. And we all, let's be honest, we all tend to do that a lot, you know, all of us. And the Lord, our Father, has to work that kind of evil desires out. So a lot of times we misinterpret that. We put that in our minds to where it's like we pray and we kind of have that mindset. But the main focus here, you know, we pray for our desires a lot of times, but also we pray according to what we think. You know, we pray according to what we think. And we pray according to, we limit to ourselves to our sight and how we think the Lord will answer our prayers. Or even how we think we can pull things off, you know, in our prayers, our requests and prayers, not putting the Lord in the equation too. Again, we limit our prayers by that, but the Lord is not limited by that. He's not limited by what we see or what we think. He's completely beyond that. Understanding that the Lord, he knows everything that we ask before we even pray. He's not bound by human strength. That should, in our hearts, that should cure our like worry, our human striving. For our Father, again, he knows everything we ask before we can ask him. Matthew 6:8. I know a lot of times you guys, a lot of you here, you've experienced this to where you're asking the Lord and you're requesting or whatever, you're speaking to the Lord. And there's an aspect of listening too, I kind of want to get into in a second. But you're asking the Lord for maybe like something like right now, like, hey, I need something or whatever. And he'll either answer it immediately, or have an immediate, or answer it in a way that you just can't understand, that's sure. That I don't even get that, if I would have put my hand into it, I would have jacked it up, I would have messed it up completely, or sometimes where you're asking the Lord for something, and there's times where he like brings to remembrance or brings things to your heart that in my own train of thought, I would have never thought about that. It's just like, hey, Lord, I need something. What do I do with this? And he'll bring something in your mind like that. And it's like, I would have never thought about it. Right as you're praying, this aspect of where the Lord can just, come out of completely left field, his omniscience, his omnipresence. We all know that here, his eternal nature to where he's not bound by time. That should bolster our faith. As nothing is too hard for the Lord. It was this Genesis 18:14 and Jeremiah 32:27. Now, I'm paraphrasing those verses, there's nothing there's things that are completely impossible, in our mind that is completely possible with the Lord. Now, obviously there's a disclaimer, and this disclaimer, I'm preaching to the choir with this, but it obviously for remembrance for teaching to this morning, all this aspect of where you're praying for things that are impossible and praying for things that, that we can't accomplish. This is all assuming that you're listening to the Lord. You're being shaped into the image of Christ.
Sure.
And you're praying according to the will of the Lord.
Sure.
This is all assuming, this is the assumption. That could be almost, a message in and of itself right there. That we're praying and we're listening to the Lord and not just listening to ourselves.
Sure.
First John 5:14. And there's that, and we're going to actually get into this pretty soon. Matthew 6:11, different things that when we pray according to the will of the Lord, we pray for daily bread, Matthew 6:14, ask for the Lord for daily bread. There's nothing wrong with that. Our daily needs, things that we want, we lifted up our requests to the Lord, But even in our lifting up, the Lord molds and shapes that request, But in all those different things, you have it where you have the Lord's Prayer. But a lot of times the will of the Lord is really concerned with the expansion of his kingdom, seeing others, saved and being brought into the kingdom of the Lord. So you have Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come. That expansion of his kingdom and seeing others brought into it, as well as edifying believers. And also, again, going back to where the Lord's desire to see Jesus being manifested in us and that molding and shaping.
Sure.
A lot of those, our prayers, when we pray for things that are impossible or whatever, it's within that. It's not just to serve it in our own desires, Even before our main text here, even before our main text in Ephesians 3:20, where Paul, before we get into the aspect of our text here, Paul is discussing how the Gentiles is becoming partakers of the promise of Christ in Ephesians 3:6. So that again, expansion of the kingdom of the Lord, and how the Ephesian Christians One of his main desires is having them strengthened with the might through his spirit in that inner man. So again, you see where that aspect to where this not limiting the Lord, it's couched in these themes, you know, progression of the kingdom and seeing Jesus magnified in the believer. So there's a couple ending things here too. In an aspect of prayer, even just starting, even kind of felt this for the new year, kind of a new year thing, just a bring to remembrance, you know, just aspects of prayer. Number one, even persistence in prayer. Again, going back to impossibility, you know, where even despite what we see, and even in aspect of like delay in an answered prayer, to where we're praying for something and, man, this is impossible. I've been waiting for this thing for how many years? A delay, supposedly, because with the Lord, the time doesn't matter, you know. So it's the delay in our what we perceive, sure. You know. Sure. But still persisting in prayer, even though what we see, it just denies completely what we see according to faith. Luke 18:1 says Jesus told them, where he was talking about a particular parable, and one of the goals of this is so that, quote here, that we ought always to pray and not lose heart. A lot of times we see, you know, what we see and we lose heart, and it's like, you know, I can't pray for this anymore. You know, it looks like nothing's going on. But the Lord is saying we continue in prayer, even though, you know, we don't lose heart. You know, we keep our eyes focused on the Lord. You know, there was something to where recently, I'm not going to get too much into it, where there was something I was praying for literally for like 7 months, you know, and I was really wanting to see a particular thing happen. And now, just now, I'm starting to see glimpses of where, like, okay, after 7 months of praying for this thing, I'm starting to see, what is it, the rain cloud over there, you know, to where it's like a little thing and it's starting to get, you know,
yeah,
like
right.
bigger
with
and bigger.
Elijah.
I'm just now seeing. And we should be careful too to not dismiss when we see a little bit of an answered, you know. I mean, praise the Lord when you see a prayer that's answered, you know, immediately, you know. But there's a lot of times where our faith is going to have to be tested, and it's just going to see like maybe a little aspect of the answered prayer, and it's going to, you know, grow bigger and bigger and bigger, you know. Let's not get, you know, like walking in unbelief and just be like, ah, that's not anything. No, the Lord, He's answering prayers more so on our timetable. I mean, on his timetable, not ours. So persistence of prayer in spite of impossible what we see, you know. And then also the aspect of even praying for backsliders. Even going into this new year, that could be an almost like impossible in our hearts to be like an impossible prayer. I know that's something to where you have someone who's backslidden, not even necessarily backslidden, but also people who are friends and family who never came to the Lord. You know, just continuing to pray and persist in prayer for them, even though in our minds, in our hearts, it's like, man, they're completely way off. You know, I've already told them about the gospel. You know, they reject it. We have no clue what the Lord is doing behind.
Yeah, exactly.
We have no clue what the Lord is doing behind the scenes in that prayer. And no doubt, they may not say anything, but as we're praying for them, the Lord is probably dealing with them in their spirit, you know, and probably speaking to them. We just can't perceive it, you know, because we're not the Lord, you know. Now, it's in Jeremiah 3:14 where the Lord is speaking here, and he's saying, "Return, O backslidden children, for I am married to you." Notice this aspect to where the Lord is calling out. He's actually calling out for his backslidden children to come back, you know, and that he's actually still connected to them. You know, he's still connected them in a way. A lot of times we just, again, the reason why I focus a little more on the backslider, because we in our minds think that, oh, you know, they're gone.
Scripture was that, Jeremiah?
Jeremiah 3:14.
Okay.
Where the Lord is calling back and they're calling for them to return. He's actually still connected to them. You know, this isn't something to where he's like, he completely cuts them off, you know. Likewise for us, you know, for where we're praying and we're asking for, you know, in prayer for their backsliders to return. we haven't had a connection to them, you know, because the body of Christ. So again, I don't want to get too much into that aspect, but our cries for them to call back to the Lord. So again, not very long, 15 minutes.
That's fine.
15 minutes, not very long today, guys. But that's really what the Lord laid on my heart. Again, there's even right now for myself, there's still a couple, like, and I know for all of us, I'm not special with this. I know for a lot of us, there's things that are plate that are on our plate right now that are like impossible, you know, that we can't really pull off with our human hands, you know. Again, even for myself in particular. But that's where, you know, that's an excellent opportunity for us to look to the Lord and be like, Lord, hey, I can't do this. You know, with you, you know, everything's possible with you, you know. And again, it's for the aspect of glorifying the Lord, not just for our, you know, own, for just enjoy the things. We enjoy the things of this life, but it's all centered around glorifying the Lord. So, yeah, if anyone, any of you guys know, have anything you want to add?
Well, yeah, that's really anointed, and I tell you, there is no divine rule on how long you should speak. So I thank God when people share words from their heart. I remember years ago, telling God about something that I really wanted to see happen. It was spiritual in its nature.
Yeah.
You know, it was ministry wise. And the Lord told me that he literally came real clearly and said, you actually don't care about that. Mm. And I'm like, I'm emotional, like, wait a minute, this is bothering me. He said, you said very little prayers and stayed with it very little. So he said, if it didn't drive you to prayer, mm-hmm. it must not be that important. Now, I want to put an attitude in there. There are things that are important that we should be praying of, and we're dull to their importance. You know what I mean? Yeah. So when God said that, he wasn't necessarily saying, you know what you said isn't important. But he said it doesn't mean nothing to you, because if it did, you would truly be on your knees. And when he gave me that, he was actually giving me a measurement. And that measurement immediately, I mean, it stung me. And it's like, okay, Lord, I need to pray instead of talk. I need to pray instead of worry. I need to pray. But it's interesting because there's like this sort of, this is the thing. We learn how to pray better as we get older. We do. And what happens too is in my life too, God separates our ambitions from his spirit. Mm. When you're younger, you tend to pray with a deep ambition. When you get older, a lot of that ambition breaks down, because not because you're weak or feeble, but because when you're older, your pride, hopefully it dwindles, and your self-desire dwindles a bit, mm-hmm. and you start to get into that realm of, you know, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. But it was just such a wake-up call for me. Now, I'm not telling you it corrected my prayer life, you know, everything mm-hmm. was perfect, but it spoke so loud that it just kind of rang in my ear, and I realized. But the other thing you said, just to amen it, there is, God answers prayer, and then there's another time where he wants you to pray through a process mm-hmm. that eventually brings the thing you're praying for. But we reduce prayer to simply, I asked and I hope you give it. Right, but prayer right. shapes us. Prayer also can be a refiner's fire that changes us. There's the processes of prayer is so beyond simply, I ask this mm-hmm. and can you do it, to how it grows you. Also prayer, if you're earnest with it and you sit with God, it'll sort out your heart, meaning it will sort out frivolity that you're asking for. It'll sort out what you want versus what you need. So mm-hmm. this process is so big. But like you said, there's multiple. Yeah. We could go that, but we need to get there, because Elijah, what was it? He starts praying, but he has a servant watching to see the line. But remember right, something, right. he had also prayed, and there was 3.5 years of drought. He prays again, you know what I mean? Now, some people would say, he already prayed to stop the weather for 3.5 years. So he could have just stood there and saying, in the name of, you know, Yahweh, rain, you know. But this is what's interesting. When you read the scripture, remember, watch and pray.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
You would know any reader in that time, the first thing they would think of was Elijah praying and his servant first seeing the little puff and then the storm front coming. Mm-hmm. That's watching and praying, so. Big aspect.
Yeah, right? even as the next note will be another message, but I never thought about how that aspect of watching and pray, that almost brings the perfect balance of like our part in it, as well as the Lord's part in it. You know.
Well, and that's the point. Like you said, you're interceding. Listen, God could do everything without anybody, but it would disconnect the Father from His children. And when we're praying, we're building. I used to say this: prayer isn't for God; it's for you.
Mm-hmm, yes.
But a lot of people, especially in a merchandise society, we view prayer as a means of getting things. But in a biblical term, that's not it at all. Prayer is a relational thing, and when we reduce it to "I ask you for this, please give it," mm-hmm. we're missing the wider expanse, because there's a truth about supplication and answers. But the truth is wider. And this is where the church, I really believe, especially in America, we, in a way, we have taken a merchandise approach to many aspects of the Bible. We don't realize it. We dress it with pretty language. You know, we dress it with religious language. But what God's doing in prayer, He's sorting you out, man. And earnest prayer that's repetitious may take away your doubt. You know what I'm saying? It may take away your doubt. A lot of times people go, I got to have faith, so when I ask this one time, I'll do it. And they read the scripture, you have faith as a mustard seed. But you don't realize the mustard seed is, you know what I mean, it's really little. And as you're praying, sometimes God's developing your faith, because you got to understand God knows what you want, what you need before you ask it. Mm-hmm. He's already got the future and He sees it. So when you're coming to your Father that has that omniscience, He knows all things, and you start to realize it begins to shape how you pray. But again, we really need to enter into that, because even to this day, I have to worry if a situation's stressful. You know, we've had Ziamara. I mean, there's just been so many challenges that, as bad as it totals you out emotionally, it should be driving you to your knees. And that's the lesson. It never stops, that hour. But yeah, but I think actually what you shared is enough. Yeah. Because quite frankly, again, that aspect is so critical. It's so vast, even what you shared. You can let that get in your system and digest it. And so we need to be driven, there's no doubt, myself included. And that's... I don't know about you guys. Do you ever like ask for something? If you look in a 6-month history, how many things you prayed for 6 months ago you don't even mention now? Mm-hmm. Now there may be one or two things that stay with you, but to me that's often, and I'll analyze my own prayer life, and that's a sign that, okay, like that thing you thought God was doing, you prayed for a month and you're done. You left it on the ash heap and you're moving forward. And I think that's problematic sometimes, but, you know, like I said, God, prayer's for us, not for God. It is our means by communicating, but it shapes us. God's perfect. He doesn't need to be shaped. So,
right.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, that's good, buddy. That's really good. And it's real fitting going out to lay hands on Barbara. That's a very dire situation. So it is heavy to me, big time. Not. But good stuff, buddy. Good stuff. Anything, I don't know if anybody else had observations.
Yeah, anyone else? Matt, Dallas, Josh, anyone? Okay. I'll end us in prayer.
Thank you, God.
And then we can definitely part here. So, Father God, I just pray, Lord, help us to understand the depths, Lord, really of communicating with You, Lord. Lord, even as we behold Your glory, Lord, we behold Your face, Lord, in prayer. Lord, You're changing us, Lord. So I just ask, Lord, shape our desires, Lord. Help us to listen to You more, Lord.
Yes,
God. That aspect of speaking to You and requesting and asking, but, Lord, we're listening for Your heart as well. And You're guiding us as to our decisions and our thoughts and addressing and changing things, Lord.
Yes, God.
So just pray for that, Lord. I pray for everyone today, Lord, that You would be... Lord, help us to remember you in the mix in our day, Lord, that you are the one who gives us life, Lord, and breath. And we just thank you for the fellowship today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.